O Lord, our God, our strength and our redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, you almost got away with some sermon because this time again, we'll say briefly, but I much better. I actually went to turn off my cell phone and noticed the day on the phone. I have a sermon for next week, but I think I have one, so just we'll see. I have to admit, it's so true. We don't have power to help ourselves by ourselves. And that's why we, as God's children, are so fortunate. We are so really blessed and loved by God that He has sent His Son, His only Son, which we get into in a minute, to show us the way, to show us God's way. And Jesus did a perfect job, which of course we know. It is through Jesus and by the power of the Holy Spirit, which God Almighty and Jesus Christ sends us and stays in us forever, that's how we are able to get through life. That's how we are able to help ourselves. And it's also a reminder when we read the Bible, when we read the scriptures, when we read about Jesus' life, to get the hint about prayer and worship and community. Because Jesus always surrounded himself with community. He always prayed. And he always worshiped God in the true Jewish tradition. So here we go. We start off with Exodus and the Ten Commandments. And God, we know that the first four have all to do with God Almighty, our relationship. The next six has to do with relationship with others, you know, with ourselves. And so God says, you shall have no other gods before me, so God is first. And then, you shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above or in earth beneath, and it goes on. Well, of course not, because who made everything? Who made the gold? Who made the cattle? Who made the monkey? Who made everything? The Leviathans. Everything. Who made it? God Almighty. So God created all. We don't worship what He's created. We worship God Almighty. And we become good stewards of His entire creation. His entire creation. And then it says, you shall not bow down or worship them, for I am a jealous God. In other words, that's not the same as human jealousy. That means that God Almighty wants our total love, our total faithfulness, our obedience, and our total worship. And then about the punishing of the children, let's think of it this way. Let's say I sin and I'm not a good parent. That's the example my children would have. So then when they have children, they're not going to be as good as they could have been if I had done what God had told me to do. And it goes on and on, maybe for a few generations until finally someone down the road learns, oh, the right way is to follow God Almighty. The right way is to be obedient and figure out what Jesus wants for us and from us. That's how we show our love. That's how we show our true worship. And then it says, you shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God. Anybody ever curse by using God Almighty's name? Anybody ever curse by saying Jesus Christ, but not as a prayer? I know in Ireland they'll say, Jesus, but then they continue with Mary and Joseph. And it's just so cute. When I was first there, they'd be like, it's a prayer, Reverend Maureen. It's a prayer. Right? So. And then God teaches us. He says, remember the Sabbath day. Remember to keep it holy. 6 days we labor, but then we rest on the seventh day. But not just us. What does it say here? Your sons, your daughters, your slaves, your livestock, any strangers, everybody is supposed to have the rest of God. And here God Almighty in Genesis gives us the example. He creates the world in 6 days, and what happens on the seventh day? God rested. Did God need to rest? No. But that's an example for us. We are to rest. God wants us to take care of ourselves. God wants us to do that so that we can continue as long as we can to love Him and to love one another, to serve Him and to serve each other. And then the next six, honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And you shall not covet. These are things that we're not to do. But also we can turn it around and realize these are things that are not supposed to be done to us. And so these are good. This helps the community to keep unified, to keep together as one under God. Well, and then he gets to the gospel. Jesus is going to Jerusalem for the Passover. And what happens? He walks into the church, into the temple, and does he find God's sons and daughters praying, loving each other, caring for one another? No. Jesus finds a marketplace where they're not just selling and taking. They're robbing people blind. It'd be like as if somebody came in here and had and just charged 10 times what the amount should be. They were not worshiping God Almighty. So, Jesus makes a whip of cords and drives all the sheep and the cattle out. He doesn't beat them. He just gets them out because they don't belong there. He pours all the money and coins over. He changes he overturns the table. And he tells them, take these things out of here. You are hurting God's children. You are not worshiping the Lord your God. He says, stop making my father's house a marketplace. Well, another thought about that would be in us, when we're in church, are we worshiping God in a true way, or are we a marketplace in our head? Sure, we can get distracted. Yes, the sermons can be boring. Yes, the service can be boring sometimes. Only if we're not focusing on God, maybe not the sermon, but the rest of it. But if we focus on God and we want to try our best to serve God Almighty, we don't want to be a marketplace. We want to be holy because God makes us holy. And then the disciples remember, zeal from your house consumes me. Well, yes, Jesus cared. Jesus did care. And then the Jews that were cheating everybody said, well, what sign can you show us that you can do this? Well, that's almost like, really? You know, what's wrong with you? Can't you realize that this doesn't make sense in a house of worship, that you're robbing your families and your friends? You're not worshiping God. You're not being obedient. You're not loving. You're not being unified under God Almighty. And so he tells them, well, destroy this temple. In other words, destroy. Try to destroy the worship of God. And in 3 days, I will raise it up. Of course, they were thinking, oh, he's talking about the building. Well, not that. Jesus' entire life is the restoration of God's temple, which is the entire world. After Jesus' resurrection, he not only raised up the temple, but he raised up everyone. He raised up true worship. He raised up the worship of our hearts and our minds. Jesus raised up the entire creation. Jesus saved all. So what I'd like to do is end with this one verse from 1 Corinthians. Because this is the way we can honor the Sabbath. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Yes, if you look at the crucifixion, especially that day, it looked like all was lost. But we know that God Almighty raised up Jesus Christ. We know that for a fact. And Jesus has saved us. He has sent us His Holy Spirit. And He loves us and He calls us to true worship. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for everyone here, all the little babies. We love to know that you are kind of racing up the altar because they can feel you drawing them and busting the next side. We ask that our hearts may be as pure as theirs, and that we can love you and serve you as your true children. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen.